Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a while, topping the charts.
Thank you for downloading the Podcastianos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna.
Welcome back to another episode of the Podcastianos. I'm Jordan Hall, and I'm rejoined by a fresh and recharged Eric Wayne. Eric, what's going on?
I spent time in the Great North, in the wilderness, getting in touch with my animal manhood spirit, you know, felling lumber and trekking over terrain.
So what does the Wayne family do on a UP vacation? What does that look like?
We did some fishing. I like to fish. I got to take my family and my son fishing, and that was some kind of tender moments. Aww. I gotta tell y'all, it was special. Some, you know, skiing, tubing, a lot of eating. I mean, we take eating seriously. It's an important task when you're on vacation. It's the only thing that marks the day. Got to eat.
I suppose that's true. I'm a little surprised to hear that you're a fishing guy. I wouldn't necessarily picture you as the type to put a worm on a hook.
Because I'm like too clean, or like you don't think I have the patience for it?
No, the cleanliness thing. I mean, I for sure wouldn't want to do that.
Worms and fish are dirty.
Yeah.
I will tell you, I don't understand like the luxury fishing brands. There's like luxury apparel for fishing. It's like super expensive. And I'm like, have these people ever been fishing? It's nothing but like worm guts and fish slime. Like, you just need to wear some old nasty clothes.
Yeah, but the thing is fancy rich people, the people that have the money to buy said things, they don't enjoy being in those type of clothes. So they must have their fancy bougie brands, obviously.
Bougie fishermen. Gosh.
So I hear that you were swinging the bat and chasing the old ball around the UP this weekend.
I feel like a dope. It's an embarrassment. So we had this like family softball game, and I managed to like land on my shoulder, and I screwed it all up. I had to go to the hospital, and I came back structurally clear. So
you're more of a Delman outfielder than a Jacoby outfielder.
I have Delmanish skills, that's for sure. I'd like to think I have a more chipper personality, but my defensive abilities are more in line with Mr. Delman.
Did you guys hit the Bear Ranch while you were up there? I feel like I ask you this every year.
We went a couple years ago, and that was kind of enough. It's not an every year thing. It's maybe putting on a cycle.
Jacoby, he just hit a home run.
Yeah, I don't have the game in front of me, but we are hitting 2 home runs a game, averaging now.
I feel like we went weeks.
Less than one. What's that?
I said I feel like we went weeks at points last year without home runs.
In 161 games last year, we hit 149 home runs. So now in 6 games, we've hit 12 home runs. Yeah.
Yeah, math. It's math would tell you that we're on a better pace than we were for last year.
Yes, math.
So as we've alluded to, there's been some real-life baseball this week. What emotion has that brought to you? I feel like it's a complicated moment in sport.
Yeah. You know, it's reassuring that the world is happening, but doesn't it seem artificial to you? It seems plastic, like with no fans there. And, you know, you see the coaches with the masks on and stuff, and you hear news about the Marlins and stuff. It just feels like any moment it could all fall apart.
Oh, for sure. I feel like, you know, we've discussed at length on the show how much European soccer we've watched in the lead up to this. But they had already started their season. You know what I mean? Like, it was just wrapping the season up. The storylines had already been written. With baseball, we're just like, we're just jumping into it. Like, there is that, like, why are we doing what we're doing? Like, we don't have to do this. I mean,
it's a little scary. The Marlins thing, what are they up to, 12 or 15 players who tested positive? That's a legitimate outbreak, and that's a little frightening.
And the thing is they said that they had the meeting and just went on with it after that. The thing is like, if we're going to get through this, there has to be, you know, cooler heads prevailing and people working together. That's literally the exact opposite. But
So they're going to miss a number of games. Then you have some players on the DL. IL. Is it still injured list?
Just whatever. The COVID list. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they're going to have a tough time making up some of these games. I saw the idea floated that they would not even try to make up some of those, and playoff positions would just be determined by winning percentage.
I kind of like that. I mean, why not?
What do you make of that?
I don't see any. I mean, in theory, it's exactly the same. I don't know that there's any distinct advantage to playing less games.
Well, I mean, I think it is an advantage to play less games, because if you stink, you have just the probability wise of catching a streak or whatever and doing better. And also, who are you playing? I mean. The schedule's no longer balanced.
But it wasn't necessarily balanced to begin with. I mean, it's not like in soccer where you play every team in the league twice. We play the NL Central. We're going up for, you know, playoff seeds with the teams that are playing.
All the AL Central teams are playing the NL Central teams. And if you play the good NL Central teams instead of one of the cruddy ones, then... But I get it. We're making lemonade out of, you know, what we've been handed. And I get that.
Did you see the Joe Kelly fiasco last night?
Yeah, there's some squabble and he looked a little pissy and he seemed people are angry at him.
Yeah, that's an all-time face for me. Like, isn't it funny how some things become the memes that just circulate the internet, you know, a million times over? I would like to think that one will become, you know, like the crying Jordan, but, you know, only the internet can tell us that.
The Joe Kelly face.
Yeah.
So swinging back to the Tigers broadcasts, what have been, beyond the game itself, what have been your impressions of the broadcast? Have you watched some of this?
I have. Let's just jump right into it. It's been like, I feel like we typically are the positive podcast out there.
For sure.
I don't want to poop on anyone's professional career. Like, I did it last year. It is extremely difficult. But the broadcasts have been so bad. So bad.
Yeah.
Like, I still turn it on at night. But, like, you know, when it was Rod and Mario, you'd be like, all right, like, the broadcast is just part of the scenery. Like, it
was just some flow. They had some flow.
Right.
If nothing else.
It was actively not... detracts.
I found myself muting it, and I don't want to pile on anybody. I don't ever find that satisfying when people just rip on people, and I don't want to be harsh, but it's not been good, especially after you had the ear candy that was Dan Dickerson on, Dan and Petrie, and they were just so good, and it was so interesting to listen to. And now I just don't have desire to watch it, and I don't have desire to listen to the commentary, and Shep, from all accounts, is a really good guy and a good broadcaster, so I don't want to pile on him. But simple things like how to call a fly ball, it needs to be a crescendo. Okay, a fly ball. Oh, it looks deep. oh, it's way deep. It's a home run. Okay. Instead, he's going, it's a decrescendo.
Yeah.
If it's not good.
It's zero to 60 for sure.
Right. And I feel like that should be kind of a elementary fundamental thing about calling a game. Just a few little things like that. And I, like I said, I don't want to pile on them, but calling fly balls and some of this, it's like, okay, Shep, you know, get it together.
Yeah, I feel like, and the I feel like everyone's gonna roast me for this because nobody likes Jack Morris, but I feel like my opinion of Jack Morris has actually gone slightly up, while my opinion of Shep has gone down in the last, what has it been, 8, 6, whatever games. I don't know if it's just purely relative, but yeah, it's like every little bit of it. I mean, we've talked about the pick to stick, all of this stuff. Like, it all seems so forced and so
contrived. Yep. Yeah,
yeah,
like, yeah. I used to watch every moment of the pregame shows. Now I want the broadcast, but I'm muting it, and I just want to see the nuts and bolts of what's going on. And I suppose it's not fair. I mean, there's no crowd to pan to and comment on. You know, the foul balls, there isn't some activity, there's no ambient sound, so there's a lot of difficulties to overcome, but I don't like when they pipe in the sound.
Yeah,
I don't quite get that either.
I feel like, but going back to the difficulties of the empty stadium, I've actually been trying to sync up like my phone so that I'm listening to Dan and Jim while I'm watching. It is very difficult. But Dan, I was going to say Dan and Jim, but Dan has found a way to bring the broadcast to life despite there being virtually nothing going on outside the field.
Right.
And other than home runs, nothing going on it. Like, it is possible. Just a certain set of broadcasters haven't been able to do it. But like you said, I don't necessarily want to crap on them. It is extremely difficult.
It's a hard job. Yeah. It's a hard job. But I mean, there's only so many of those jobs. So it's kind of like being a bad senator. Like, yeah, it's hard to make decisions and be one of the 100 people to make laws in this way in the United States, but like, you should be good at it. You were elected to be a senator. Like, that's what you should do. Or, you know, CEO of a big company. There's only so many of these jobs.
Yeah. I mean, more Johnny Cain would probably help. There's been, what, literally zero, right? I don't know that I've seen him.
He's getting himself ready. He's grooming himself. It's a lot of work.
Maybe he
put your face on it.
Maybe he just opted out and he's gonna start fresh in the 2021 season. All right. So we've spent a lot of time negative. Let's get positive, because sure. I don't know if you've noticed this, but we're actually kind of good.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Well, small. The theme bit here is going to be small sample size.
Yes.
Right. But so a lot of the additions that we've made have been good. Crone's been good. Scope's been good. I think Romine's been okay.
Yeah, Ivanova was acceptable.
Was good.
I feel like the broadcasts always keep trying to lump Cameron Maben in with the acquisitions that have been good. I love Cam. Cam has not been good. And you don't have to bring everybody into it to prove your point. The majority of them have been good, yes.
Right. But those are some solid... you're getting some solid baseball out of players we did not have last year. And already you can tell that the 2020 version of the Tigers is exceedingly better than the 2019 version.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is obviously an extremely low bar. So let's not get too carried away. But
right.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like this free agent crop has been almost as good as the Pelfrey, Mike Avilas, Tom Gorzolani crop from as they were bad.
That was a trade wreck.
I mean, loath as any of us are to give Al Avila credit, like, he actually has done very well. And it's been 6 games, and 2 of them CJ Crone has struck out in literally all of his at-bats. But right. He had a, like, I don't know that you could have too awfully much better of a series than that Cincy series. The defense was outstanding. The home run hitting, you had when we were discussing what to talk about, how did we afford someone as good as CJ Crone? And I think you put that spot on the money.
Now, maybe I caught more of his home runs. I actually looked at his numbers. They're not like amazing, but he's playing for the Tigers as a free agent. Like, okay, we're not shopping on the top shelf here. I mean, this is a middle to low shelf guy, and he's been good.
Yeah. I mean, he is a bona fide middle of the order type of hitter, yeah, which we haven't had in since sure. JD left, maybe.
I'm like, how did he trickle down to us? I'm kind of surprised.
Well, just like I talked about with Jules on the show last week, which I'm assuming you listened to and took, you know, copious notes on. You know, the relative value of a right-handed hitting first baseman is
right.
fairly low, and that's what he
is. I heard you break it down with Torque. I listened.
Yeah, yeah, he was good. I'm a big Jules guy. I thought I was very happy to talk with him. But yeah, both of those signings have been really good. I've always kind of been a Jonathan Scope guy. I feel like because he was in Baltimore and he was, you know, hitting with Manny Machado, Machado always got those headlines. But Scope put in, I mean, him and Machado and Nelson Cruz put us out of several playoffs, if I recall correctly. Which
I just feel Scope is a real kindred spirit because he's from Curacao. So, like, we're both Dutch. So, I mean, that's really, I mean, it's just like, you know, brethren. I feel that's really nice.
Let's talk about other things that have been really good. The bullpen. So I'm 31. I literally can't remember a time that we've had a good bullpen. We're 6-7 games in. The bullpen has been absolutely filthy. Where did this come from?
Okay, I haven't broke this down or studied it, but there was like a series of scoreless innings that we had that was already close to or exceeded like bullpen scoreless innings from all of last year or something like that. Don't quote me on this.
I'm almost positive it's still going, actually.
Yeah. Like, how is this happening?
Yeah. I mean, we have a legit 8 and 9 guy. I mean, Joe obviously has had his struggles, but we have a legit 8 and 9 guy in Buck and Joe. Yep. Gregory Soto has been,
Soto's been throwing
a revelation. So here's the deal. It was really funny. It was his second outing of the year when he went 2 scoreless and just blew the world apart. I tweeted when he hit the first batter, can we just be done with the Gregory Soto experiment? Because as you remember, all of the prior sample size was terrible. Right. He went 0-2 on whoever it was and hit him. At that point, all right, yeah, I'm done. And then he proceeded to go on and, I mean, he literally hasn't put a foot wrong since. I feel like I'm going to take a little bit of credit for that, and maybe I should start chirping like Jamer or somebody. See if we can we be done with the Jamer Candelario experiment?
Yeah, well, you might be closer to home there, but the bullpen's been amazing. Although, if we're going to talk about the amazing bullpen, maybe we should talk about some of the debuts that happened. And the debuts were rocky.
They were not good.
Because we had Funkhauser, we had Burrows, and Anthony Castro all make their debuts. And they were all pretty rocky.
They were. But here's the thing. The way I look at that is, so we have, what, 30-man rosters right now. Normally, we have 26. Those guys probably aren't Tigers players if it weren't for the expanded rosters. They came in a crapshoot game. Like, I don't know. I have a hard time lumping them in with our quote-unquote real relievers. You know, the Cisneros, Alexanders, those guys. But yeah, I mean, it was like turn the TV off bad.
Yeah. You know, it was kind of funny. I saw on Twitter, like, people were giving him some love. Like, you made your debut, a little rocky, but good job. You know, I was stunned. It was all kind of positive. Like,
yeah, that doesn't
I guess the game
often.
Was out of hand and people are just, you know, being supportive, which I found refreshing.
Yeah, it's actually kind of nice.
Yeah.
So who have been some of the standout bats for you? There's actually been choices. I feel like we didn't do a show at all last year where we positively talked about the offense.
I got to tell you, like, I know small sample size, but I just looked and sorted by OPS, and the top two OPS on our team are two guys who I feel like have somewhat similar paths with us. And that is Victor Reyes and Jacoby Jones. So they've both had times where they looked completely befuddled and lost as players.
Would definitely agree with that.
But then last year they had episodes where they looked like legit major league ball players. And now this year they're looking strong again. And I'm just wondering, like, what do we have in these guys? Are these, Are these pieces for the future or not?
So why don't we take them individually? Let's start with Jacoby, because obviously the upside is much higher there. I have a hard time being rational about Jacoby because he looks like such a good ball player. When he's in the outfield, he just oozes center field stud. When he's at the plate, he looks like he is a player. And anytime he does any, like the results actually echo that, it's really easy, at least for me, to get sucked in. But he looks like an absolute ball player right now. He's had some hot stretches, so I'm not getting completely carried away. But he has the pop. He has the speed. Like, there's not really a reason that he shouldn't be good other than he hasn't strung it together. I'm a little remiss to say that, yep, this is the time. But, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit. He's not old.
Yeah, he's 28 now. I mean, he's not a spring chicken. He's been around.
But in terms of experience, like, he hasn't had a full run of games in. I mean, he's had injuries. He's all of these things that have really stunted his development. I'm not saying that he's figured it out, but I think there's at least something to stick around there. I mean,
I think the defensive numbers last year, there was a little bit of concern because they were down or whatever. I think that was a little bit of an aberration. I mean, he's a good defensive outfielder.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there was a couple gaffes or whatever, but he can catch the ball.
I thought Jules put it very well last week when he said he looks like a great defensive outfielder, which I do think he is, but I do think he gives the impression of a good defensive outfielder, maybe a little bit more than he actually is. But
so you think the numbers from last year were kind of right, that it says he scuffled a little bit?
I think he's league average. I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle, as it most often does.
Right. But he can hit, and he can hit for power. I think it's all about approach.
Yeah.
At the plate for him, you know, if he can refine his approach and be selective, I think he's a major league average ball player.
Yeah, I think maybe the problem was he hadn't watched Miggy take batting practice enough. I hear that can turn things around. But here's the thing. Like,
if the next person who describes Miguel Cabrera as a leader, I'm going to slap. Because Miguel Cabrera is an excellent baseball player, but a leader of men, he is not.
No. And the thing is he doesn't have to be. He is the longest tenured Tiger. That doesn't mean he has to be the leader.
Yeah,
some people just.
Do you know the next longest tenured Tigers?
I do, but that's just because I heard it earlier. Buck Farmer, yeah.
Harold Castro and Gregory Soto.
More than Buck?
Or in the Tigers organization?
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Man,
I thought that was really interesting.
Doesn't bode particularly well.
Harold Castro, Gregory Soto, longest in the organization.
Hammer and Harold. All right, let's move on to Victor Reyes, your boy. You've been defending him for years. Before it was cool.
We crushed him, didn't we?
Yes.
Oh, we trashed him.
To be fair, we were not the only ones.
That's true. But what was it, like mid-season last year? Like then he just started to rake? Because there's a stat. He led the league, or he was second in the league in hits for like the last 2 months of the season last year. It was insane.
Yeah, but it was
light, not a lot of power.
But the thing is we're a rebuilding team. So I feel like you come back to this with both Reyes and Jacoby. When we're good, like if we ever get to the point where we're competing for World Series, these guys aren't going to be with us. Yeah, so when we're competing for divisions, they're good enough. I think that both of them have a place. Certainly on a 26-man, I think Jacoby as a starting center fielder. I mean, if we're good enough and he's hitting ninth, that's a heck of a piece to have at the bottom of the order who plays a center field the way he does.
But the problem is they're like our best players right now.
That is a problem.
And that's not a good sign.
And we're still near the top of the division. What up, AL Central?
Yeah, world beaters.
That's right. So let's move on. Miggy had an interesting start to the year. He obviously came in the best shape of his life, as he's done a time or two before.
Svelte.
What have you seen from the big fella?
You know, there has been times where he's been slow on fastballs and pitches where he would have just spit on, you know, breaking balls low and away. I saw him swing at a pitch that bounced a foot in front of the plate. And I was like, that's not Miguel Cabrera. And here I was ready just to dog on him. And then he just crushed a home run the other day. And I was like, well, maybe he's good. But I don't know.
Are you suggesting maybe he has, like, cataracts or something? He's getting to an age like you where the eyes start to go.
You know, the body is starting to decompose quickly.
I mean, I don't think we can rule that out.
But I guess what I'm suggesting is I don't think we're getting David Ortiz in his aging years. I think if he doesn't show something in 60 games with a thin body and everything like that, it's not going to get a lot better from here.
Yeah, I sadly think that you are correct. I always said that I thought him and Victor were going to age well because the hit tool was their carrying tool. I have been proven to be vastly incorrect on both cases.
I mean, do you feel he's batting third for us? It's your best hitter. Do you feel confident when Miguel Cabrera is standing at the plate right now?
No, I don't. I mean,
I'd rather see Crone. I'd rather see Scope.
Yep. I'd rather see Nico. Nico's had a rough start to the year, and I probably would still rather him be up in a clutch situation.
Yeah, I mean, Nico's been fine. I mean, so yeah, you're not going to move him down to sixth in the order. Mm-mm. Because he's Miguel Cabrera. But there's going to need to be that discussion. You know, it happens to the best. I don't know where Pujols is right now either, but you know, these guys get older and I don't see it returning to the caliber Miguel Cabrera was. I mean, we will run him out there, but it's been a little disheartening for me.
Yeah, especially considering, like, he's been such a fixture for so long. He's been beloved for so long.
His play has been beloved.
I still think that when you are in the ballpark, both north or south, when he comes up, I mean, he gets the biggest ovation by far. And obviously that's a little bit different than, you know, general or maybe specifically Tigers Twitter, how we feel about him. Let's look forward a little bit. Obviously, extremely small sample size, but the season is small sample size. We are, maybe an eighth of the way through the season, and we are right there in it. At what point do we think it's go time? And we actively start to go for it, bringing up your Mises, your Mannings, seeing how they can help this team. I read on Twitter today that today was the service time manipulation day. I don't know if that's true, false, or otherwise, but it should be soon, if not actually today.
And spoiler alert, the Tigers have won. So the Tigers are 4-2 with 10% of the season over.
That was close. Eighth, tenth, pretty much the same thing.
So that's from Cody Stavenhagen.
I feel like we don't give the beat guys enough. They've obviously put in a really weird shift this year.
Oh my gosh,
and both him and Evan and Beck, all those guys have done a really, really good job. I feel like we crapped on the TV broadcasters. We should give the newspaper guys credit where credit's due.
Yep. And my buddy and my favorite punching bag, Tokars, writes, none of this is sustainable, but with 60 games, it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
And I think, Tokars, you're right. And that's what kind of makes it fun. Like, this is not a marathon, you know, baseball season. It's a marathon. No, this is maybe like a mile, you know, a 400 meter. Is that a race? Is that in the measurement?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's definitely a measurement. I don't know if it's a race or not. But
never touched a track in my life. Just have some fun with it. Why not get a little bit excited? Hope you strike gold. Hope you catch a little magic in a bottle. We've had enough misery in our life, friends, haven't you? Don't you feel like you can capture a little bit of joy and hope? I say, heck yes, go for it. Live a little.
I mean, you know, I pretty
we get 30 games in. If we win 15 games, call up the kids. Let's run them out there.
Why not? Yeah. 538 had us at 18 wins. That was their projections preseason.
Wow.
I think we're gonna kill that at this point.
You know, I don't tell me either, like, this would be a cheap year or whatever. This would be freaking magical. In what's going on in society, flags fly forever. You're not taking that 2020 banner down. Whoever wins this thing, that counts. It counts for me. If we can get through the season, that's a banner. It's a magical opportunity, really.
Yeah, I mean, it is, as they would say in soccer, it's a free hit. You got nothing to lose. Okay, yeah. So put on your GM hat. If you're Al Avila, you know, you have your collared mafia shirt.
Mafia boss, yeah. Mm-hmm.
When do you pull the trigger?
Like I said, I think it's 30 games.
30?
50, yeah.
Okay.
25 maybe. But you have to be over 500 halfway.
All right, fair enough.
I mean, that's kind of my metric. I mean, what else? And okay, here's a bigger point too. What is the virus doing? If things are steering clear, good. I'm not calling the kids up just to get them exposed to any kind of health danger.
Yeah.
Now, I know it's not fair for the rest of the ball players to have that kind of risk either. But if there is additional stress on the teams in the season, I won't even call it a virus related, but if it's a lot of rigmarole, yeah, it's probably not worth putting the kids through it. But yeah, if you have a fighting chance, run them up. Let's do it.
Absolutely. I dig it. All right, let's move on to your power rankings.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Power rankings. Okay, I have a confession, Hall. My confession is I'm a little bit nerdy.
I don't think that's going to surprise anybody.
And in my life, there's been a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety, and I needed something comforting and familiar in my life. So I've been watching, streaming on Netflix, a lot of Star Trek: The Next Generation. This was like a staple of my like childhood, late childhood, early teen years, because it was the only thing on TV. We did not have cable. This was over broadcast television.
Wow.
And it was on Sunday mornings, and like football wasn't on yet, so I had nothing else to do. So before we had internet, so I watched Star Trek: The Next Generation, and I never appreciated it as much as a kid as I did now, but I've been crushing these episodes, and it's so healthy and happy because there's all these problems, and in 45 minutes, they're all solved. And you'd be stunned how many episodes are about like viruses and contagions and stuff like that.
Have we tried using the solutions that they use?
We should. Well, they're like, oh, we should quarantine these people and isolate them. Don't expose them. I'm like, yeah, yeah. Geordi LaForge. And the Crusher, Dr. Crusher, should be in charge of the CDC.
Yeah, let's do it.
Beverly, come on. All right. So I have for you, this is a little nerdy, the top seven and bottom three Star Trek: The Next Generation characters.
Okay, here we go.
Have you ever watched the show in your life?
Not a second.
Okay. We're going to make this quick.
Okay.
Because it might be painful if you've never seen the television show. Number seven is Counselor Deanna Troi.
Dang.
She's nice to look at. She's always got the, the low cut uniform, which I find fascinating since they all have the same uniform except for Troi.
So you get, even in space, that is a trope that carries over.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now she is like the empath, right? She's the gets in touch with the feelings, and that's a little over the top, but she's fine. She's number seven. Number six is Q, which is a really cool character. It's basically like this entity that's like all powerful, and he comes and interacts with Captain Picard. It's kind of fascinating. Six. Number five is Guinan, who's played by Whoopi Goldberg. And she's like the bartender. She kind of plays the function of like Wilson in Home Improvement. Like the important characters have to go and like talk to somebody. That's Guinan, and that's Whoopi Goldberg.
Huh, interesting.
Number four is Commander Data. He's an android. I always think the actor who plays him is like really good, but the shtick gets a little bit old with like, what does this human word mean?
Data. Sometimes I think that to myself too.
What does this human word mean? Bingo. What does that mean? Anyway, it's so dumb. Anyway, Data's fine. Number three is William Riker. Number one, Riker. He's charming with the ladies. Although the first season I'm watching, he doesn't have a beard yet. So that's the key component of Riker. He's kind of a playboy.
So there's lots of women on this ship that he can cycle through? I kind of assumed that the supply would be fairly limited.
Well, you can hook up with, you know, alien ladies. You'd be surprised how many even alien ladies, even in the Next Generation, which is, you know, not the original series. Of course. But they're still finding alien women to hook up with. And, you know, the holodeck, you can manufacture some women to get busy with. Riker's all about that life. Number two is Geordi LaForge. Geordi Mercer. Geordi LaForge. He's the guy with the visor, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, of course.
Everybody knows that. LeVar Burton. How can you not like LeVar Burton?
I do like LeVar Burton. Don't accuse me of that.
He's reading to children and teaching them the joy of books.
Turning them into book jockeys.
Yeah. And he's Geordi LaForge, who's an engineer and is awesome. Number one, you got a guess?
No, I have no idea.
You really don't know the show if you don't know number one. Number one is Jean-Luc Picard. Captain Picard, played by Patrick Stewart. He's the best character. I could just watch Patrick Stewart play Jean-Luc Picard all the time. He's tough, wise, kind of playful at times. He's the best character.
Does he remind you of someone else that you know?
Me? Oh, handsome. Good at acting.
Sure.
Is that not what you have in mind? Okay, three worst characters because people are already rolling their eyes. Third from the worst is Worf. You know, he just growls and wants to hit things.
I can relate.
Restrains himself. You know, Worf is kind of a trash character. I don't care.
Okay.
Number two is Wesley Crusher, who's famously played by Will Wheaton. Will Wheaton got famous later for like being kind of an early internet celebrity. So he was like really young when he played Wesley Crusher. And I was expecting it to be super bad because it's kind of cliched how bad the acting was. But he wasn't horrible. I mean, he's a kid actor. It was better than I thought, but it's still not.
Okay, is he better or worse than Macaulay Culkin?
Yeah, probably a little worse.
Okay.
Number one, the worst character in Star Trek The Next Generation is Tasha Yar. Like, the acting is not good. The character is not, like, well-developed. She's supposed to be, like, this tough security officer, but, like, she just either, like, yells or cries all the time. She's so worthless. I don't like that character at all. That's it. That's my comfort, embarrassing indulgence lately. Star Trek The Next Generation.
I bet there's many listeners out there who would have enjoyed that far more than I did.
Are you saying you didn't like that?
I thought it was excellent. I feel like I've seen the show now based on your representation of these characters.
I kind of feel like Shep now.
Nah, you're definitely our Simo. I think everyone knows that.
Oh shit.
All right.
Did you see anything alongside the road?
Nothing about running today. But I did.
You have a whole new geography to explore. All.
Yeah, I came up with a little bit of a different segment. It's called "Excuse Me, What?" I wrote down two quotes that came out of the mouth of one Matt Shepard, and I thought that we could get into
pile on
here.
Him some more.
To be fair, I didn't know that we were going to pile on him so much earlier in the show, or maybe I would have gone a different direction here.
If you're part of the Shepard family, could you just make sure that he doesn't hear this?
Yeah, we do genuinely like him. Just we don't enjoy listening to him as much.
Okay, what do you got?
All right, the first one, this one was not last night, but the night before. This is the exact quote. Tigers looking forward to Mercer, Maben, and Victor Reyes coming up in the bottom of the second. Really? We're looking forward to Mercer, Maben, and Victor Reyes?
Well, come on. Well, I mean, maybe they're not looking. Maybe he didn't mean looking forward in a like eagerness way. Just like maybe they're looking forward in time. Like, oh, tomorrow I am looking forward
to getting a root canal.
My doctor's appointment. Yes, that's exactly right. Just gotta stretch a little.
And the other one, the internet made a lot of this. The exact quote is, Jacoby Jones wears a crown off the Reds closer. I don't even know what to make of that one.
Wears a crown.
So it was when Jacoby tied it up off of Raisel Iglesias on the, okay. I want to say either the second, I think the second game of the year.
Okay.
It was in the ninth inning, and he said he wears a crown off the Reds closer.
Okay. All right.
You keep saying, okay, all right, but that doesn't offer any insight as to what it means.
I'm agreeing that that's a thing he probably said. What more do you want from me? My mom taught me manners.
So anyway, that's, excuse me, what? For tonight. So let's move on to your Twitter questions.
How did I become in charge of Twitter?
Because I don't like to do it. That's how.
Oh, fine.
I feel like we go over this every week. I don't like reading.
Let me find the bottom. I'm not always prepared for this. This is Nick Holla. Can the Tigers realistically keep this up? Or are they going to crash soon? They're going to keep it up. We're being hopeful. Nick Holla.
And also, I feel like it depends on what you mean by crash. Like, I mean, are we going to stay above 500? I don't know, but I don't know that. I feel like nothing is within the realm of possibilities that would make me think we're going to crash. Like, my expectations was last year. Yeah. We're already not doing that. So, right. No, I don't think we're going to crash.
Although we started hot last year, too. We won, like, that five was, out of the first seven games or whatever.
That was another lifetime.
Yeah, that seems like so long ago. Michael Litzner asks, will the Tigers hit more home runs this year in 60 games than they did in 162, but it was really one, games last year? I believe the 2019 total was around 140. I just said it. I think it was 142. So if they keep up this pace and hit two home runs a game, that's math, 120 home runs. So yeah, maybe, but probably not.
Yeah. Let's go with it. Yeah. I think CJ Krohn gets us there all by himself.
There you go. Good. We're being happy. Over under MLB plays 15 more games. Oh, this is a virus question from this, Jacob Saronic.
This cuts to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I will. So here's the deal. I don't want it to end because I'm enjoying Tigers baseball right now.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I would be confident in taking the over there.
Our girl Robin Runyon, Atomic Pixie, at Atomic Pixie, asks, who's my Tiger? It's a fair question. You have more than ever to choose from. There's just a lot.
That's true.
You have a lot of options. I feel like there should be some kind of flow chart.
Yeah, do you know anyone that makes quirky flow charts?
It would be a lot of work. I'm just kind of lazy.
Maybe push pause on the Star Trek and get to flow charting. Listen, have you ever considered that?
Listen, Star Trek requires zero work. I could just fall asleep. I don't even have to look at, you know, a keyboard.
The answer is Nico. Nico is awesome. Nico is obviously my favorite player. He's the coolest guy on the team. It should be Nico.
Nico is pretty fun. I'm kind of digging Krohn.
Yeah.
You know, it's always kind of a downer when you root for former Twins, but we're like half former Twins.
True.
I didn't like Rod Gardenhire for a while because he's a former twin guy, but now I like him.
Do you? I was going to say, you didn't like him because he was a former twin. Now you don't like him because he's a current like Tiger.
I like Gardner. I like him a lot more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
Ryan Blevins asked, Greg Soto looks really good. That's not a question. Here's a question. How long until he is overworked and pitches in 55 games and fizzles out before the end of the year? If he pitches 55 games in a 60-game season, that's a lot. Ryan.
Analysis.
Ryan is double dipping, getting greedy with the questions. Where were you when you on the night the world realized the Tigers might mess around and win this division?
I was in my house.
Be positive.
I really haven't been anywhere but my house, so.
Where the else would we be?
Although in Indiana, we can do pretty much whatever we want, so I actually could be somewhere else, but.
Yeah, we're hopeful. Flags fly forever. Mitch from Michigan asks, who's on the Mount Rushmore of great baseball player facial hair?
I actually did some research into this because I thought this was a really good question. The obvious answer, Brian Wilson, you know, the beard, he really wants us to think him. So because of that, I'm not putting him on there because he wants it too bad. I really like the Mike Fiers. I'm not so keen on him as a person.
He did the spiral.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Yeah, that was pretty epic.
I liked Scott Spezio. You know, he had just like the little chin goatee thing.
Yeah,
it was a
little flavor saver. Yeah.
Yeah. And Jason Wirth. I feel like he had the big caveman beard kind of before it was cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then to have a Tigers tie-in, either Todd Jones or Brandon Inge's dalliance with facial hair, either of those.
Like, who? How about Jim Leland? Just got that kind of bushy mustache going. Just the mustache only look, I feel like, is a good look for a ball player.
Yeah.
70s.
For sure.
Let's see. Brett Yode asks, who's the Tiger most likely to post coronavirus truther content on social media? So there's a lot of Tigers minor leaguers who do. I'm not going to name names, but given more freedom, I think more players than you'd think would be kind of rocking that content.
Yeah.
But they're showing some discretion, which is smart.
Yeah. I feel like the biggest example would be a now former and now retired Tiger.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're talking about the same person or thinking of the same person. You give the name.
Alex Wilson.
Gosh, you're such a hater. let's see. We're going to skip. Tim in the North asks, best Tiger nickname of all time? There are a lot of good ones. Pudge, Sweet Lou, the Georgia Peach, the Bird. Did you rethink about this at all?
I did, but I'll defer to you because you're older and have probably experienced more.
I just remember them efforting so hard to come up with a nickname for Chris Shelton, and I always thought it was like, no, we're not calling him Red Pop. I don't want anything forced. Mm-mm. Pudge is good. I like Pudge.
So obviously this was before my time, but Senor Smoke, Aurelio Lopez,
sure,
that is a fantastic nickname.
Senor Smoke.
And the other one, this is a left-handed pitcher that pitched for the Tigers from 59 to 63. His name was Don Mossy, and they refer to him as the Sphinx.
The Sphinx.
I don't know why, but that's A+.
Maybe it was something to do with his sphincter.
I would prefer to think that they don't know anything about his sphincter, but you know, who am I to say?
I'll have to research that and get back to you. Maybe it'll become a power rankings or something. I was too busy watching The Next Generation to research that.
I feel like somebody suggested Red Bull for Turnbull last year, and it never really caught on. I've always thought that is actually pretty quality.
That's pretty good.
But the thing is we don't really have the power to get that going. So you'll have to talk with Johnny Kane or, I don't know, someone.
Yeah. I feel like there's been some nicknames I've tried to get off the ground through the years, and it just never really happens. Lawn Steak Ball, Mister, asks, over under 10.5 outfield collisions this season for Victor Reyes. Collisions with fences and teammates both count.
Poor Victor.
He already crashed into the fence once.
He is much like the proverbial baby deer on ice. But, you know, he is what he is. Embrace him. He's a fun little guy.
I tell you what, we're going to need either Derek Hill or Riley Green, somebody to catch the ball. I mean, because it just always seems, especially with Kristen Stewart out there, like, you just need to give these guys as much help as you can. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do we have any more questions? There's a picture of Garth Brooks for some reason.
Well, sure.
Donnie Baseball, a nickname for Don Kelly. You like that?
Yeah.
That's all right. Let's see. Does the potential... This is from El Soldado Gordo.
I like how focused your face got as you were trying to read that. I'm trying to figure out what that
says. This person's question is, does the potential upside of Kristen Stewart outweigh the fact that Victor Reyes is superior offensively and defensively and really deserves the bulk of the playing time in left field?
I feel like we're playing fast and loose with superior offensively and defensively. Yeah. So here's the thing. I feel like I've said that like 12 times in the show. I'm going to have to go ahead and cut that one out. We need to know what Kristen Stewart can do.
Right.
I mean, that is the thing. I have a pretty good idea what Victor Reyes can do. And if we get 20, 25 games in and we're looking like we have a chance to win the division, then yeah, we probably should roll with Victor Reyes if he's the one that gives us a better chance to win the division, which as of right now, he probably does. But until then, we have to find out if Kristen Stewart can hit.
Yeah. I buy that.
So, yeah. And
Kristen Stewart, I don't know. He's such a likable guy. You know, we talked about that, but he does not give you much defensively, and he's not hitting for a lot of average. He's got to hit for power. I mean, he's got to hit dingers.
And truly, he hasn't yet in his big league career.
Yeah.
Like at any point.
Victor Reyes is in no risk of getting DFA'd or cut or shown the pink slip, but Kristen Stewart, you know, could
he surely could has to have options, wayside. Doesn't he?
I'm sure, but I mean, he could not be with the big club. You could imagine a situation where that happens.
Yeah, absolutely, definitely.
Adam Langworthy asks, are you at least a little excited by the fact that the Tigers could make the playoffs in this world weird season?
Yeah,
I think we kind of covered this territory.
Absolutely,
yeah, we have decided that we are going to be a little excited.
Exactly.
You get to choose. Mitch from Michigan asks, door A, Tigers win this year's World Series with 2020 goofiness and expanded playoffs, but are guaranteed to finish last in the division for the next decade.
A. I don't even care what B is.
Or
give me
door
A.
B is roll the dice on the future and them being consistently good and winning it in a normal way.
A.
Flags fly forever.
That's right.
You can get the condition associated with A and not have a World Series. I'll take the cloth, man.
Yeah, absolutely. When a World Series title is on the line, I'm taking that every time. Definitely.
And let's see. Oh, no, it's not final. John Fine asks, I scared of sock puppets.
Are you scared of sock puppets?
No, but I'm afraid of clowns and wet naps. I hate wet naps.
Wet naps? What is wrong with
it's
you?
It's so toxic. Oh, I don't.
Oh, so it's more of a like what they're going to do to you fear as opposed to like you wouldn't want to be left alone in a room with one.
No, it's just kind of an unpleasant thing.
All right, fair enough.
Nicholas Wisniewski asks, how feasible is it to frame Whit Merrifield for murder? Follow up. Has there ever been a more white name than Whit Merrifield? Let's take the second part first. No. That is an extremely white name. And Yeah, I suppose. How hard do you think it would be to frame somebody for murder? Especially a major league ball player. I think it would be pretty hard.
I think so too. It'd be much easier to like plant weed in his locker or something. I feel like that would be a lot simpler and
because
do the same
like
thing.
For a murder, you need a dead body.
That's true, but you can probably find those. I don't know.
You run alongside the road all the time, and how many have you seen?
I guess zero. That's a solid point.
It's hard to find them, I'd say.
Yeah, okay.
Mike Florida 7000, which sounds like the worst superhero in the world.
I apologize for him, Mike. I think you sound like a great superhero.
Here comes Mike Florida 7000. Oh, and he's robbed a strip club.
He's riding an alligator into town.
He asks, what do you guys think about the fake crowd noise during games?
I'm okay with it, but I'm well conditioned to it by now. I mean, it's just, I feel like it's just part of the scenery. It's whatever.
So David Fleecefleece asks, so Shep's going to go with the wear the crown home run call for real? He caught the statement that you did. Wear the crown.
I'd say at this point, let's just do it. Why not?
It's kind of like the Ball State joke one where the guy kid goes, boom goes the dynamite. You know, this is kind of like, wearing the crown.
I'm in, Shep. Why not? I'm going to start like using that in my everyday parlance. I suppose. Yeah.
That's it for questions.
A lot of questions tonight. You did a good job powering through. I wouldn't have read nearly that many.
Well, I'm dumping some to the curb, too. Okay, get rid of some chaff. Thank you for submitting your questions, even the chaff. Thank you.
Especially the chaff. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. And we would love it if you would take the time, subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. Eric, glad to have you back beneath the bridge. Glad you were able to survive another family softball game.
I made it mostly in one piece,
more or less. Anything else to say to the people before we get out of here for another week?
Enjoy some baseball, friends, while you can. You never know what tomorrow holds, so live it up while we're living high. It's
yeah,
good stuff.
That's right. With that being said, we'll catch you guys next week, and eat 'em up, Tigers, eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.